state.
Well, we have a question. Why did God create flesh? I believe the first man didn't sin in his flesh. So God created something holy in that man. He didn't sin until he fell from grace and he lost God's presence. He fell into his soul and his body, into a two-part person. And now when we receive Christ, we become the three-part being. Our spirit is quickened, made alive. And where Adam was born again in reverse, we're now born again in the correct forward position. We receive Christ and we're born again. Okay? So now we are spirit, soul, and body. Now, I got to share something with you in what Paul said in Romans. Paul said, I didn't sin, my members sinned. See, he has the correct division. Paul believes what it says here. I'm taking you back to 1 John 5:18. You have it open right in front of you. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Think about it. If you keep your soul in the love of God, the wicked one will not touch you with an addiction. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I didn't sin. I'm not going to take you to that scripture tonight. But he says, it was my members that sinned. They want to sin. Now, your members are your mind, your brain, you know, your arms and legs, sex organs. These are members, okay? And your brain wants, that's your flesh. So in my human spirit, I haven't sinned since 1982, the day I received Christ. But in my human flesh, I have sinned. Now I'm in a war. As long as I'm on this earth, I'm in a war with my human flesh. And you know, Christians are out here always fighting the devil, you know? Yeah, the devil did this and the devil did that, and the devil's under that rock and the devil's under that rock. You know what? Satan doesn't have to be everywhere to harass you. All he had to do was get his character into your ancestors. Okay? Now, his ways, Satan's ways, are in the human flesh. So the battlefield is not you in some great big, you know, Hollywood does it like this. You know, there's this huge force coming at you from the great cosmos, and they're all dark beings, you know. That's how Hollywood does it. The truth is, the Christian's biggest battleground is right here between his ears. It's your human spirit against your brain and your mind. And that's where you win and lose, right there. It's like, I'm letting my flesh win, so now I'm going to use drugs. Or now I'm going to go back to the computer and look at the porn again. Or now I'm going to get a bottle or a 40-ouncer and I'm going to drink. Because I am not going to stand in my love of God, in my human spirit, which doesn't sin. And you know what Satan's biggest tool against you is condemnation. Well, you thought about it, you might as well do it now. Well, you had one, you might as well have 10 now. Condemnation. You know what I have noticed about some of the alcoholics that are doing well? You know what I've noticed? They will fall. Now, you need to hear this. They will fall sometimes, but they'll get halfway through the beer and just throw it out. Because the love of God catches them and arrests them and stops them. And then you say, well, how long? You quit, huh? How long you been dry? Well, 2 hours. But they don't tell you. They only had half, you know, and they threw it out. And it's like, sometimes you almost have to have those little skirmishes, you know, I'm not telling everybody to go out and get beer, okay? But what I am saying is sometimes those little skirmishes make it clear to you that you are winning the battle, see? And it's like it's you against your members. It's you against your flesh. But God says that that which is born of God does not sin. You're born of God. You know what? This is all you have to do every day. You have to get up. You need to pray. You need to read a little word. And then I would just say something. Now, don't think it's a form that you just have to repeat my exact word. It's the heart of what I'm saying, okay? You can say it in any wording you want. It's like get up and go, Lord, I receive your Holy Spirit in my life right now. Today, for the new day. And Jesus, you are the one that fills me with the Spirit. And Jesus, you and I are going to do business today. I'm going to love people. I'm going to encourage people. I'm going to witness to the lost if I have to today, if I need to. I'm going to do your will today. And I thank you. And I thank you that I don't sin. My heart doesn't sin. My spirit doesn't sin. And my members have to follow me. My members have to come and follow me. The real Greg. The real Greg is my human spirit. And they have to come along like my puppy dog, you know. My body. And I can tell you all kinds of scriptures that back up what I'm saying. The Apostle Paul said, I buffet my body. Buffet, a lot of preachers to make jokes say, I buffet my body. You know, it's spelled the same way. And, you know, we're going to go to the buffet after church. But Paul said buffet, and that means I hit my body. And if you look in the footnote of the Bible, it says, I beat it like a boxer. And that's what Paul said. He says, I beat my body. I make my body line up. My human spirit is in charge. My mind has to follow behind me. My body has to follow behind me. The real me is in down in here, in my heart, and I will be in charge. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says, I buffet my body. And I have this old saying, if you're hard on yourself, the world won't be hard on you. If you indulge yourself and just let yourself go like a slob, then the world is going to pummel you to pieces and probably kill you and get you in trouble and all kinds of problems. And so there's another scripture that says, let a man examine himself. In 1 Corinthians 11, before you take communion, let a man examine himself so he's not judged with the world. In other words, the world is going to get judged harshly in sin. It's like, but if you examine yourself every day and you separate your human spirit, which never sins, out away from your flesh, your body and your mind, and you say, those are my members. I didn't do that sin. They did it, and now they're going to pay. All right, body. All right, mind, for you, I'm going to pray for 3 hours. For you, body, I'm going to fast for 12 hours. You know, it's like, just punish your body and your mind sometimes. You know, you might say, well, what's that, Greg? Well, the Christian lifestyle is not a call to just pleasant feelings all the time. There's a practice called ascetism, and a lot of Hindus, they do fasting, they do denial, they do meditations. I'm just telling you, Jesus said, they came to Jesus and they said, why aren't you fasting right now? Why are you and your disciples always feasting? And well, Jesus had already done a lot of fasting. And then it was his time to feast. But he said back to his detractors, he said, you know what? The time will come when the bridegroom is gone and no longer with the bride party, that then their time will come to fast, when the bridegroom is gone. And what he meant is he meant all Christians on earth are called to self-denial, fasting, giving up things, self-sacrifice, and maybe martyrdom someday. Maybe martyrdom. One guy said, I was listening to a preacher one day, and it kind of bore witness in my spirit that there will be young believers full of the Holy Spirit, 20 years old, and they're going to take a Bible, and they'll just find their way into the, behind across the borders in Iraq or Iran or somewhere, and they're going to just, instead of those suicide bombers who are from Satan that get in a crowd of people, then they push a button and... No, God's going to have His own... They're not going to be suicide bombers. They're going to be martyrs. And they're going to walk in there on a street corner in a great big crowd of Islamic people and start preaching Christ and doing miracles and seeing people delivered. And angels might show up for a while, but they'll probably not stay there forever. If the young person stays there long enough, they'll probably be martyred. They will be martyred. Why would a loving God let His children be martyred? Well, I don't. You know what? All the apostles, I think, but one were martyred. You aren't called to a life of comfort. They were killing. But when you impose it on yourself, I guarantee you, the Christian life of self-imposed hardships is much better than following Satan and living the sinful life with all Satan's hardships. You know, there's a scripture that says the way of the transgressor is hard. Work in detox for 2 years. You can see that the way of the transgressor is hard. It's hard. Oh man, it's hard. You know, these guys and gals suffer. It's hard to run in the sin camp and serve Satan. It's hard. It's brutal. It's like a lot of these people in here would give anything if they could live a righteous life.
Let's say one thing, a lot of times people don't even realize that until after they find God's love. Now, he's talking about, I can relate. I'm like, whoa.
But you've all heard the saying, no pain, no gain. Weightlifters don't get anywhere unless they're willing to work hard for an hour and tax every muscle. That's what we're called to do as Christians, is to work our soul, our minds, work our bodies, and work our spirits. We're supposed to get fat on the Word in our human spirits. We're supposed to improve our mind by studying good books about God and maybe, you know, going to college. I mean, being a productive citizen. And we're supposed to be work on our bodies and not let our bodies get sluggish and overweight and let our bodies go down the tubes with some horrible addiction and substance that's killing us. We're not supposed to do any of that. So, you know, Christians are supposed to... there's a great man of God, Smith Wigglesworth, and they say that there were 13 resurrections in his ministry. Jesus only had 3. Well, when he was on earth. Because I believe that every time there is a resurrection that's miraculous, Jesus did it from heaven. So Jesus has, you know, thousands or millions. But anyway, this man, while he was on earth, had 13. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. The guy had terminal diseases healed, and he had 13 people resurrect from the dead. And this is a saying that this man said. He said, "My human spirit is 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." That's what he said. You know, I've always liked that. I learned that about 20 years ago. I learned that he said that. And for the last 20 years, I was thinking, oh my goodness, I want my human spirit to be bigger than who I am on the outside. I want, when I walk in a place, I want my presence to change the place. This same guy walked on a railway car once, and he sat down, and he had his trench coat, his top hat. He lived around 1920, and he sits on a railway car, and this guy's walking by him, and all of a sudden he gets on his knees, and he goes, "Man, you convict me of my sin." He didn't even know him. There was some kind of flow of the Spirit coming off this man. And I got a modern story. Dave Uwell, a man that I know personally, that my wife and I are under his mentorship and we get his mailings and his teachings all the time. And I've served him, I've driven him around, but he travels the whole world now. He's been in like 70 nations. He was flying one day, and he was on the airplane, and he was on the aisle row, and he was asleep. And this great big tall guy, great big tall black guy, is, I'm just trying to give this mental picture, says, "That old man's asleep, I'm just going to step over him." He goes like this, and he steps over him like that, and then he tries to bring the other leg, and he gets stuck. And he can't move. And somehow the Holy Spirit froze him. You don't step over the wrong man of God. All right? Because God takes care of his people, okay? And some people have enough power and anointing. And this man had to wake up Dave and say, "What's going on? I'm stuck. I can't move. I tried to step over you and I can't move." And Dave's kind of gruff, and he goes, but he's jolly too, and he goes, "Well, that's, brother, that's the Holy Spirit. Says you got something you want to confess?" But God would do that for us too. We're done, and I want to end in prayer. Anyone have a question? Just throw it on you, don't I? And I don't give you a chance to prepare. Let's pray together. We have a recording going, so let's. I'd like to lead in the sinner's prayer, and we'll elaborate a little on the prayer. And then, I'd like all of you to follow me as I say the words. Dear Lord, we receive your word.
We receive your word.
Forgive us.
Save us.
Fill us.
Fill us
with your love and your spirit.
Renew us.
We want to live for you.
We want to walk in your power.
Let this word produce in us.
Let love grow tonight.
We forgive all men and women everywhere.
Forgive us now of all sin, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.